What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
Hey, Jillian, I know you haven't been here since the very beginning of the show when Ed and I started this, but do you know why this episode is somewhat special?
Yes.
Are you going to tell me, or just do I get to guess?
Meh. You're asking. You should know.
I was trying to set you up for a bit. Never mind. This is our 52nd episode, which, for those of you who don't know how to do math, there are 52 weeks in a year, and it's a weekly show, so this is our one-year anniversary episode.
Doo-doo-doo-doo.
1 year ago, Ed and I started this show. Wow.
Does leap year count?
That adds a day. What's the big deal with a day?
Well, because there's 7 days in a week, and so if there's 8 days, technically you can't say it's just 52 weeks.
Shut up.
Because it might be 51 weeks and 6 days.
For our 52nd episode, why don't you guys do us a favor? Go to adamandeve.com, use the promo code WHAT, you get 50% off of a single item, 3 free DVDs, a free mystery gift, Jillian playing with her microphone, and you get...
Playing with my microphone!
Yes, you were. I could hear
that
you.
That was not me.
It's not me!
Wasn't me!
And you get free shipping in the United States. I'm going to play the soundbite, and then I'm just going to let you go off on this week's...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yes.
The floor is yours, my dear.
Okay. For those of you on Facebook, if you're not in China or one of those banned countries, there's this thing going around, and a lot of people are saying it's spam or it's a petition or what have you. I've been getting a lot of requests for this whole enable dislike button. Which, whether it's real or whether it's a petition, scam, what have you, I don't give a fuck. I don't understand the need for a dislike button on Facebook. The whole reason the like button is there is because otherwise you would get 300 comments saying LOL or neat or things like that. It's a lot easier to say, oh, hey, that's cool, and just kind of a recognizable thing. Whereas dislike, it's just inviting trolling into what you put. You know, it could be like, is in a relationship. Dislike, or you know, something good happens to you and someone's just being an ass dislike. And I say this knowing there are people like this out there. There's people like this on my page that are like, you know, have blatantly said it would just make things easier. And I know we've spoken on this before with technology and how lazy people are, that you know, you need certain things done for them, you just can't do it yourself. And you may argue that, well, it's the same as clicking like. No, it's not. If you're going to dislike something I say, have the balls to fucking write why you don't like it. And some people said, oh, well, it's if somebody posts something like someone died, you're not going to like that. Well, don't. Either don't say anything or actually write your condolences. If someone that was really close to me died, I wouldn't want to just see blah, 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 dislike this. Secondly, whenever somebody writes something that's just really down, most of the time, it's not just a, I'm having a shitty day. I mean, yeah, it's out there, but there's usually some kind of intertwining goodness to that statement where it'd be, you know, I lost a job today, but, you know, I have an interview or I'm looking for a job at such and such a place. And then if you dislike, it's like, well, what part are you disliking? Is it the fact that I'm going to work at this company and you don't like this company? Or are you just being an asshole that, you know, I mean, there's no really poignant way with a dislike button. Essentially, it's just a dislike has such a negativity to it. I don't understand why so many people want it. To me, it's not a necessity. And anybody out there saying, oh, well, it's for, you know, certain situations where like wouldn't be appropriate, then fucking write down what you want to say. You know, if something has a negative connotation and there's something that's not good to where it's not appropriate to like, and I know this is like weird because, you know, I keep saying like, dislike, and like, but to quote unquote like is pressing the link. Don't say anything or actually say your condolences or say I'm sorry or just something. You know,
or
it's one of,
God forbid, you just don't say anything because as Abraham Lincoln said.
That's what either.
Jillian, as Abraham Lincoln famously said, it is better to be silent and thought a fool than to open one's mouth and remove all doubt.
Yeah, and so it's just one of those things, and people argue, you know, well, there's a like button, how come you can't have a dislike button then? Again, it's because there's a lot of stuff, there's memes going out, pictures, just funny sayings to where you're not going to want, you know, a huge comment thread going, you know, unless it's my page that just goes into asinine, like, 300 shenanigan comments, which is hilarious. But what I'm saying on a basic thing on people's pages, you know, it's a lot easier to have 32 people like this than 32 people say, I like that, or LOL. And it's just kind of one of those things that just is. Whereas a dislike button, it's essentially solely there so people control. And honestly, I'm the kind of person that reads into things. So if I posted a half good, half bad statement to where it's, you know, such and such happened, but I'm trucking along, or, you know, just kind of where it's not all negative, not all positive, and someone hits dislike, I'm going to be like, are you being a smartass? And I don't know which is the part you're disliking. Because that's the thing about the internet and anonymity is people will say stuff trolly. And on Facebook, yeah, you don't have anonymity, but there's a lot of people out there that start shit just to start shit. I don't know. You may argue and say, we'll just block them, this and that. But being on here, being on the Cinema Snob and, you know, other things that I do, I don't like to just close things off and, yeah, people be trolly. As long as they're not personally attacking, but there are people that have their pages open to anybody to where just some smart ass can go and go dislike on. And there's just, I guess my point is, yeah, you can go through and block people that are being trolly and smart asses, but at the same time, why even have the button there? It's just encouraging, you know, negativity. And so I had this thread going. I was like, we're going to make a button for everything. And then I started talking like a 1940s, you know, reporter. I'm like, yeah, yeah, you get right on that. You got Moxie, kid, Moxie. And, so we just came up with like a shit ton of different buttons Facebook should supposedly have that will make life easier, since it's so hard to just say, you know, why you don't agree with something or why you don't like something. So essentially, if that were so, if we're on this whole I'm too lazy to say I don't like something or I'm sorry or what have you, pretty much your whole screen would just be filled with buttons for any possible situation. And all right. I don't know. It was so fun, but that's my little Jillian. Facebook rage on like people just wanting negative things, and those who say that it's not for negative reasons, fucking explain why you don't like something. You don't have to explain why you like something. You can just like it. But to explain why you dislike something takes a verbiage. And if you want a button, then just go fuck yourself. I'm sorry.
So, would it be fair to say you dislike this dislike button?
The dislike button.
Yes, you were setting me up for that joke the whole time. So, Jillian, since you've already gone off on Facebook, do you want to tell us a little bit about the New York City soda ban, which I understand where the soda ban is coming from. I understand really? What their point is. I disagree with it because you know me, and you know that there's no way I want them telling me what I can ingest if I choose to.
That's the thing, though. It's not even a matter of, well, I understand it because of health reasons. Look at fucking alcohol. And I mean, I drink. I'm saying that, you know, oh, well, they should ban drinking. But at the same time, you've got something that has no nutritional value. You know, it's a beverage, and sodas don't cause car crashes or, you know, any kind of heightened depression or anger, depending on
caffeine.
What your drunk
caffeine.
State.
You can get high in caffeine.
You can get non-caffeinated soda, and they're still and banning
tastes,
that shit.
And it tastes like fucking urine.
Well, that's because you drink too much urine, and everything tastes like urine to you. But my point is, people of this United States of America, fucking portion control. Like, if these people would just look and be like, hey, people are having heart attacks, or they're 2,000 pounds, what have you, then it's not, you can't say, everybody, you can't use this. I mean, cigarettes are legal. And yes, I'm a smoker, but I would say cigarettes probably need to be illegal before fucking soda gets banned. I'm sorry.
Well, okay, to be fair, Mayor Bloomberg is not trying to ban soda. He's trying to ban large, I think it's 64 ounces or more in a single serving, which...
I'll just buy two.
Right. I was going to say, that really doesn't solve a problem. First of all, I don't think anyone needs more than maybe 24 ounces in a specific sitting. If you go to a movie theater and you need more than a 24-ounce soda, there's something wrong with you, dude.
If you're going through a marathon, like when they show all the Lord of the Rings together.
Then you get a soda between each movie, smartass.
They only give free refills on the larges, and sodas are like $4 for a small. Yeah, I'll pay the extra $2 for a large if I'm sitting through 9 hours of movie.
You know what I'm saying, that you're already a fat fucker who is asking to have a heart attack if you need 64 fucking ounces of soda in a single sitting.
Aside from what, see, you're kind of doing the whole what people should not do. The point is, government should not be policing how much you eat.
No.
That's just what irks me, the whole...
completely misunderstanding. You know, I am anti-government control. I'm anti-alcohol. I do not think alcohol should be illegal. I think people should be informed on why alcohol is bad for them, and then they make their decision. I do not think the government should step in and go, no, you do not get alcohol anymore. That's the way I feel about this, too.
I'm just saying that if you're going to put limitations on anything, and you go to a bar and there's people that can barely speak to the point where you can actually understand them, and, you know, the bars are still serving them as long as you're not falling over or creating a ruckus. But yet you're going to go and say, you've had enough soda, but here's your 4 cheeseburgers. It's cool. It's like, to me, specifying on soda, and this is kind of leading, the point is, they're not sticking with just soda. They're talking Frappuccinos, and I believe it's actually banning popcorn in theaters.
Let's take this to a different level. What about if we're going to tell people the government's going to regulate portion control? What about those giant, like, record-breaking steaks? If you eat the entire thing, you get your whole meal for free. Should we start banning those? How about those giant world record-breaking pizzas? You know, the guy eats a pizza, the size of a UFO. Should we start banning those? You cannot start telling people how much they can eat. You might tell them, hey, this is how much is probably healthy to eat, and it's probably not a good idea to do more. But for the government to go, you can't, that's ridiculous.
That's like saying, oh, well, you guys can't sell 24 packs of soda because, you know, they should be good on a 12-pack for a week. Or let's please grocery stores if people are buying too much snack food. No, you've got 7 bags of chips in there. Well, we have 7 kids. It's enough. The whole point is, if you're banning portions, you can just buy more. You cannot go into a food place and be like, no, you can't have the large. You stick with this. That's okay. Place that has food. Kind of like when you say, hey, you want to go eat? And someone says, I don't know, what do you want? And you say, food. It's being a smartass like you are right now. The point of it is, when you start banning portions, whatever, if you want to limit and say, this steak dinner has this much mashed potatoes and this much whatever, that's up to the restaurant. But even if that was government regulated, you can order 2. You can't tell somebody. I mean, what are you going to do? Say, no, I'm sorry, you can only order 1. Fine. Leave the store. Come back in. I'm a new fucking customer. I mean, there's no way. It's almost turning into just a fucking regime. It's just turning insane.
And you could beat all these things with semantics, like you just pointed out.
And I mean, I get schools. I get, you know, regulating healthy schools, what have you. We've talked about it before. You can't make people do what they don't want to do, though. So the thing of it is, this is just ridiculous to me. There's so much more that needs to be fixed. So much more immediate issues that need attention versus what size your fucking soda is. Really?
I mean, I'm glad that we're doing this instead of trying to cure cancer or stop AIDS. Or stop terrorism.
Homeless people, I think that's a little higher up on the list. What do they do? Are they just having, like, you know, because I know when I get overwhelmed, I make a to-do list. And I may not cross off everything, but I'll be like, today I'm going to handle this. And I kind of do sub-lists to where, okay, this is everything I need to do, but this is what I'm going to do today. And so it kind of trickles down. Do they just have this huge to-do list and they're looking through everything? It's like, okay, we've got homeless people. Everybody's losing their jobs. We've got people dying of all these sicknesses. We don't have a cure. Sodas. People are drinking too much soda. This is what we're going to do today. All right, let's back to the list. Frappuccinos and popcorn. We got to take care of this. It makes me sick.
Lisa Abraham recently talked to Chef Daniel Couturant, Senior Director of Culinary Innovation at McDonald's. All right, first of all, I got to stop right there. McDonald's has somebody that considers themselves a chef? Seriously?
Well, McDonald's? We talked about before that I guess like in corporate headquarters or something, it's a lot more upscale than what's here, I guess.
I would never use the word chef when it comes to McDonald's. Basically, what this chef said was, quote, "I don't see anything on the menu that's unhealthy." And I just got to go, huh?
To be fair, they're talking about how people are overweight and that they don't see McDonald's on any dieters lists. However, and I wish I would have looked this up, it just popped in my head. The guy that did the Super Size Me documentary.
Morgan Spurlock.
Yes, thank you. Which I'm the only sick fuck out there that watches that documentary and is like, damn, I want some fries. So anyway, and essentially he put these people, and this was such a long time ago, I wish my memory would have been jogged to where I could have researched this to better convey it. Essentially, he put people on, you know, a fast food diet, but he had such small portion controls that they were still within the caloric intake to where they could still lose weight, like, or not lose weight, but, you know, maintain and not gain weight. The thing with that is, yeah, you're not necessarily gaining weight because you're still, you know, within 1200, whatever calories. It's still doing other things to your body. That's true, because your body processes things differently. You may not be gaining weight, but you're clogging your fucking arteries. At the same time, though, anything can be looked at as unhealthy. You can gain weight if you eat 5,000 calories worth of fruits, veggies, and bagels a day. Is, you know, 5,000 calories at McDonald's. Your body looks at a calorie from a piece of fruit and something else the same. A calorie is a calorie. And it all stacks up to where, you know, if you're looking at it as, well, nothing at McDonald's is unhealthy, well, there's things that are less healthy for you. At the same time, I mean, you can maintain weight eating at McDonald's once or twice a week if you make wiser choices. Again, it's going back into portion control. The issue with everybody is self-control. It's one of those things, kind of the Pringle slogan, once you pop, you can't stop. It's really hard to have one or two french fries.
The one I really like, and I know like lots of stand-up comedians make this joke, but I've seen it in person, where somebody will order like five Big Macs, they'll order an extra large supersized fry and a Diet Coke, you know, because I'm watching my weight. And you just kind of,
I do Diet Coke at the same time. I like the taste of Diet Coke. Blech. And it's one of those things, I just drink it for the caffeine. If I get a large, it's more so because I want more fries, what have you. At the same time, if I'm getting a McDonald's, I'm also not eating very much the rest of the day. It's one of those things, it's, you know, in between lunch and dinner, and I have maybe, you know, a cereal bar or what have you. And it's not something I do every day. You have people that are going to McDonald's for lunch and dinner, or a McDonald's equivalent, you know, oh, I'm going to have Sonic for lunch, and then I'm going to go to Buffalo Wild Wings for dinner type thing. So you've got people that are eating fast food as 2, 3, even 4 or 5 meals. You know, I remember working at a place, and I was on my break. And I mean, I used to just take like yogurt or fruit parfaits, things like that. And, you know, I would have those periodically.
Jay, have you seen that study? I mean, it's technically unscientific, but it's that study a college, I don't remember which college it was, did on McDonald's food and all the preservatives they put into it, where they bought a Happy Meal and they left it sitting in a, you know, not even a controlled environment. They just left it sitting in the middle of the room for an entire year. And the food did not break down.
Yeah.
After 1 year, they went and bought a new one and set it right next to them. And you could not tell visually that hamburger and those fries and that the like apple pie or whatever it was were a year old. That says, I'm sorry, that is unhealthy. That's not food. Food breaks down. Okay, if it does not break down, it's not food.
I'm not defending. I'm just saying we all eat things that aren't good for us. The point of it is number one, portion control and how much you eat a day. Secondly, how often you eat those not good things for you. I mean, you look at candy and gummy bears, peanuts, things like that. They don't exactly break down either if you leave them down. They're congealed sugar. yeah, you shouldn't eat those as a meal every day. Point is, don't eat fast food every day. I mean, they did the thing where they showed you, and, you know, when you eat a steak, you don't eat the white fatty parts unless, you know, you're eating the 96er on Great Outdoors. But they put all of that into the meat. So you don't see it because it's ground up meat. But they're essentially taking that whole, you know, raw meat and putting it in there, among other things. I don't know if anybody remembers, but the whole, like, pink slime shit that was going in food that was actually a part of pesticides.
Yep.
And they finally took that out. I was like, really? It took you that long to take it out? I mean, that shit looked like it was Ghostbusters 2. It's like it's going to come out of the bathtub and grab Dana and the baby. So, I mean, stuff is in food. You know it's not good for you. If that's your choice, great. I know smoking's not good for me, but at this point, I'm not in the position to where I can really quit right now. I know I, quote unquote, can. Do I have the self-control with everything that's going on? No. So I'm going to smoke. I mean, oh, God, I need to go to sleep.
We're gonna take a break, and when we get back, it's going to be more of just kind of a general
topic. It's Josh's
turn
to rant.
All right, we'll be back.
Now you listen to me. I didn't volunteer for this. And when you good people hired me to come take care of your garbage, nobody was there telling me how to do the job. Now you don't like it? It's a little late to be wanting to get involved.
Chris Christopherson and Jan Michael Vincent in Vigilante Force.
I have friends here who are accusing me of being part of whatever the hell is going on.
The story of two brothers who fought over a town.
I'm the one that brought you here, and I'm the one that's going to run you out.
And a woman.
My sentence here is up.
I got to fight over another girl, Ben.
Chris Christopherson and Jan Michael Vincent.
You know, it's always been me against the rest of them. But I thought you was on my side.
I always was.
In the final showdown, only one will walk away. Vigilante Force, rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
They grabbed me in an alley when I was on my way home from school. There were three of them. They were about 3 or 4 years older than me. I was in grade school, and these guys were getting ready to leave junior high. And two of them held me, while one of them would work me over. And they took turns working me over in that alley. And that wasn't the first time I was bullied and beaten. And it wouldn't be the last. The whole reason those three guys jumped me, my little brother had been in a fight with one of their little brothers, and I broke it up. I don't know what story that kid told, but they came looking for me as if I had beaten up that kid, and it wasn't my brother's fight. But on the south side of Chicago, there's a lot of violence. There's a lot of broken people, a lot of drug use, a lot of alcoholism. It was difficult. I've seen my friends' fathers beat them up in front of me growing up. I had a school teacher grab me by the hair, lift me up off the ground, hit me in the ass while she carried me down across the classroom in front of everybody and was smacking me. And I was spinning like a pendulum going back and forth from these blows to my ass, hanging by my hair. This bullying thing that people talk about, it's not a fucking gay thing. It's not a fucking fat thing. You know, bullies are predators. They look for the weak. They look for people they think they can get away with hurting. They look for anything that's different, whether you're fat, you're tall, you're thin, you're slow, you're smart, you speak with a lisp. It doesn't fucking matter. This whole notion that it's only homosexuals that get bullied. It's only those people that get bullied. Well, folks, the bullies are fucking everywhere. And it's not just in your school or on the playground. You're going to have to deal with them everywhere you go. In life, there's never going to be a hall monitor when you need them. In life, you must learn to stand on your own two feet. Because when it comes time for you to blow the whistle on that pharmacy company that you work for that makes that drug that kills people and they know it and they covered it up, they're going to bully you. They're going to try to trick you and make it seem like they're stronger than they are. But they're not. Bullies are fundamentally weak. These politicians that want to cut the budget on children that want to pull out the welfare on mothers with no husbands, these people that want to renege on contracts with their workers. They're fucking bullies. When I talk about voting, part of that is so you stand up for yourself. This whole notion of bullies and how you got to go to the boss or go to this person or that person to save you. The only real way to fight a bully is you got to do it. And you got to stand up. Does it mean you're going to win? Might not. You might take an ass whooping, but that bully's going to look at you different. And maybe that bully's not going to pick on you again. But it's only going to stop you stand up. Now, Josh, I know you've got something to say on this, so I'm kind of curious what your feeling is on bullies.
Well, in the literal, like, kids beating up other kids sense, I was always bullied as well, and I always stood up for myself. And like you said, I got an ass whooping more often than I didn't, but the way I always looked at it was the damage I did to them in front of their friends, even if it was just verbal damage, because I was more of a witty retort kind of guy, that damage lasts. I mean, when you make fun of a guy in front of his friends and you really get him mad when you make a gay joke at him, he probably is really covering up being gay. And that's going to eat at him. So in you still win in the end, right?
Well, that's why politicians get really upset with satire and with cartoons that poke hot air in their policies and their bullshit on Saturday Night Live or these days with Jon Stewart.
In the more metaphorical sense, my former employer was a bully. I took it for the longest time, and then I decided not to. And I got a lawyer, and I sued him. And that's what too many people are afraid to do in this country, Hart. People are afraid because they give you this bullshit of, but I need this job. I need it. We are a bullied culture, Hart. We're willing to take the shit job and take the abuse because we need this job. But what they don't realize
is...
Who
are you saying about we, motherfucker?
I mean we in the whole societal we sense. I don't mean you and me, obviously. Because obviously you stand up for yourself, and I do as well. That's why I sued them, and I won. But what it comes down to is more people need to do that. Everyone is afraid of... The companies make you afraid, Hart. They make you afraid that... They go, okay, if you sue us, we're firing you, and there are 17 more people that are willing to take your job in the next hour. And even if you win this lawsuit, you're going to be without a job for the next year. How are you going to survive? Maybe you should think about now and not the future and maybe not sue us and just take the abuse with gentle good humor. And I say, fuck that. They're bullies, just like you pointed out, and they need to be stopped.
They're weak, and they always, the biggest trick of a bully is they always want to make it seem like they are overwhelmingly powerful. Hence a terrorist. You know, a terrorist is nothing more than a bully. That's why I'm kind of infuriated with these, what I would call capitulations to the terrorists. Every time you pass a law in America where we give up a little bit more freedom, those motherfuckers won, man.
Oh,
they
absolutely. I agree wholeheartedly with that statement, yes.
I believe in freedom. I believe in free speech. I don't think there's such a thing as hate speech. That's horse shit. I can always turn off the TV. I can always change the channel, put down the newspaper. I can always make that choice to tune out.
But see, Hart, what it comes down to is too many of the politicians have this, the only way we can save the village is to burn the village down. You know, the only way we can, I think, I can't remember if I'm quoting it exactly, but it was something like Bush, right after 9/11, said, the only way we can protect freedom is to restrict freedom. And it's kind of like, well, then you're not really protecting freedom, are you? The terrorists already beat you because you're weak.
We didn't conquer America with attitudes like that. We didn't sail across oceans with attitudes like that. You know, the whole principle of America was founded on the pursuit of religious freedom. That's where it started for us, is was this pursuit, this notion of I want to worship in the way that I want to worship. And the bully at that point in time was the Church of England and the King of England, and they stood up to him. This whole country was founded by people that stood up to the bullies. They're going to be there. They're going to be there in the prescription drug company. They're going to be there in the insurance company that's trying to tell you the cheapest way for them how to handle your health, because they don't care about your fucking health. They only want to handle this to make a profit. They're in this business to make money. They don't care about you.
I'm not trying to go to immediately to a movie analogy, but do you remember the movie Johnny Mnemonic? In that, there was that disease that the company had a cure for, but the cure is...
You mean AIDS?
No, it was called the Black...
You mean cancer?
Right, but in the movie, it was... The big conspiracy was that it was more cost-effective to keep treating the disease than curing it, because if you cure it, boom, everybody gets cured once, we don't get their money. If we just treat the disease for the rest of your life, you're a lifelong customer. So it was in their financial best interest to not cure the disease. I believe there probably is a cure for AIDS out there that some pharmaceutical company is sitting on because they can make more money off the cocktail than they can off of the cure. It's all about the dollars.
That's already a fact, Josh. There's some folks in Canada that have recently made some amazing cancer cure discoveries, and the problem is they can't get any big pharma companies interested in it because cure is the disease. They don't want that. They want you to be a junkie. They want you to be a victim. They want to bully you in a corner and make you think you need them forever. And that's really the issue, is when I talk about bullies, is there's people that are going to try to enforce their will upon you and trick you, or try to do it with force, or try to victimize you. And the only way to make it end is you just have to stand up for yourself. It's just truly the only way to make it ever end. And I know that's a very scary thing, and people want a Superman or a Batman to stand up for them. But even if there was a Superman or Batman to stand up for you, they're not always going to be there.
In a strange way, Hart, and I'm not trying to elevate this show higher than it actually is, but that is one of the reasons I started this show, was I wanted to stand up for all these strange, strange things out there that people are not aware of. I wanted to give a voice to something that people didn't know about before. In a weird way, I'm trying to stand up for the people who are unwilling to. And I know how pretentious that sounds, but I think you understand what I mean, right?
There's followers, and there's leaders. I know which side of the line I stand on.
I know which side of the line I stand on. I hope the listeners know which side of the line they're going to fall on as well.
Well, a lot of people are on a journey, man, you know, and a lot of people are finding their way, and, you know, there's new listeners to the show, people are discovering it, we're getting emails from people, and it's pretty cool, actually. We actually are having an influence on folks. I'm actually hearing a lot of positive stuff from folks that are hearing what we're talking about, and, you know, they're making better decisions in their lives, or they are getting up and empowering themselves, or they are running for office. That's some pretty interesting stuff too. There's several people I'm associated with that are starting to run for office. They want to make a change. And that's really what it's about, folks, because America is that country where you can make that difference. You can stand up. You know, this nation's founded on those principles. And that's what it's really all about. I love this country. I love being here, you know, and, on that note, yeah, I love doing American Horrors, and that's something that we try to do on American Horrors, is present alternative points of view, and we try to present the horror that we believe people want to see in the uncut format, so that people could see it the way the director wanted it, and not arbitrarily cut by some moralistic bully who thinks they know better than you about what you should see. And now you could see us on Facebook. Right from your Facebook page. You go to the Filmon app, that's F-I-L-M-O-N, the app on Facebook, and check us out. We're American Horrors in the Horror section, and you could subscribe to our channel for as little as $1.95 a month. And I got to tell you guys, subscribers have been pouring in. Pretty cool. Pretty cool.
I like the channel. I watch it. I know quite a few of our listeners. I get a lot of feedback of people that watch it. People,
you know,
watch,
cool,
the
man,
fucking
I
channel.
I got this email the other day from a dude who works for Best Buy, and he was telling me how he's got all this stuff hooked up to his TV, and he loves the channel, and that's fucking cool.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, that tells you right there, you're making an impact. And to not roll this in too much, but American Horrors would be also standing up. You were sick of Chiller and Fearnet and that censored shit, and you said, I can do better.
Yeah, I was really unhappy with the way I had been treated with my television show when we were just doing American Horrors as a TV show. And I was very unhappy with my journey through distribution. And I knew that it could be done better. And that's part of why I started American Horrors as a full-fledged, multifaceted horror company and launched my TV network so that I could have somewhere that that I could really have some fun and bring other people on board that shared this desire to romp in the fields of hell.
We unfortunately are out of time, Hart. So go get the film on app, get American Horrors. In a way, you'll be making your stance against bullshit like Chiller and FearNet and tell them to go fuck themselves.
Yeah, you know, when you do something like this, when you subscribe, it's a 2-liter bottle of Pepsi for a month's worth of horror. And you're really supporting something at the beginning, because that's really what this is about. When you, in this modern age where you could steal everything digitally on the internet, when you go and you subscribe to something like this, it's kind of like a vote. You know, you're helping us do this, and we need you to.
War gods of the deep. Are they men or monsters? Born before time began, raging up from 10,000 fathoms beneath the sea. Half devil, half fish, all evil. These are the war gods of the deep. Vincent Price rules a madman's empire, peopled by nameless terrors spawned of evil with the cunning of man, the body of a fish, and the ravening cruelty of the killer shark. Here in the deep, you will experience the most fantastic of adventures when you see War Gods of the Deep, starring Vincent Price, Tab Hunter, Susan Hart, and David Tomlinson, filmed in color scope from American International. War Gods of the Deep takes you deep into the new world of terror.
There is a weird bias people have against people like myself. And when I say this, I mean people that don't work on the normal schedule, and the word normal in quotes there. Because
9 to 5.
Yeah. When I get up at 4 or 5 in the afternoon, everything is getting ready to close. Keep in mind, I live in a town of only 10,000 people. If it's not Walmart, a big restaurant or a grocery store, good luck finding a place that's open after 5 or 6 p.m. Why should I, is there this bias against people that don't get up at 7 a.m. and go to bed at 10 o'clock at night? I am just as productive with my nocturnal schedule as any of you people listening out there are. I just do it at a different time. I even have people complaining, like, you know, since I have a son, obviously I deal with social services and things like that. And they always like would schedule an appointment at like 9 a.m. It's like, do you know how hard it is for me to make that appointment at 9 a.m? They're like, well, that's all we got. And I'm like, okay, how about next time I schedule your appointment at 3 a.m? That would be the same equivalent. It's like, just because I don't work on your schedule, they go, we are closed. We are only open for these 8 hours. And if you can't do it, fuck you. So apparently these businesses don't want my business. If they say we cannot stay open past 5 o'clock, you don't have any interest in we don't have any interest in your fucking money.
So what kind of businesses are you talking? Like, are you saying no stores aside from the big chains are open till like 8, 9 o'clock?
There are some, but I mean, like, even the fucking Pizza Hut here closes at 10 on a Friday. The fucking Pizza Hut is closed. That's ridiculous. Unless you're going to go to a bar to get a pizza, good luck getting a pizza after 10 p.m.
But you wake up at 4. You can't have pizza between 4 and 10 p.m.?
I don't usually have dinner until about 9 p.m.
So order the pizza and then eat it later.
I can't stand reheated food.
Well, okay, if you eat dinner at 9 and Pizza Hut's open till 10, order your pizza.
You're not getting my point, Jay.
Okay, but my point is, a little time around, November, we had a little discussion. And this was a discussion about how you saying that it was so horrible that the day after Thanksgiving, the stores were open so early that these people had to go into work. Yet what you're saying now seems to coincide on the opposite side you were in November.
No, because that is a special occasion. This I'm saying is, if you are a business, you should at least attempt to cater.
So instead of a special occasion, you want people open like that all the time.
Yes. I mean, first of all, Jillian,
That makes no sense!
There are places here there are places I don't go to, but I either drive past them all the time or I walk past them and I look at their hours. And, okay, keep in mind, I'm in a tourist community, so there's a yarn store here that is right between a couple of restaurants, okay? The yarn store is open from 10 a.m., till 1 p.m. daily. And I'm going, How do you make enough money being open 3 hours a day to actually be able to sustain your business at a yarn store?
The thing is, though, with stores like that, they lose more money. They don't do a lot of business staying open longer because they have to pay people. So what they do is they set their business hours in accordance to how, you know, what their peak hours are for sale. Because if they stay open till, say, 7, 8 o'clock, and they don't make hardly any sales after 2 p.m., there's no reason for them to consistently stay open past that time. And if you need yarn that badly at 11 o'clock at night, I don't know, dude.
Well, and then it also comes down to kind of like comic book stores. Okay, most of the comic book stores are open till 7 o'clock usually. And, you know, on Wednesdays, Wednesday is the new comic book day, usually open till 8 o'clock. Fine. This is something I've noticed with comic book stores all across my state. They're not even open 7 days a week anymore. You'll see they're closed Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, and they're only open Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And you go, okay, that seems kind of dumb, doesn't it? You're only open 4 days a week, especially when it's something like...
I mean, I...
Look, well, hold on. Especially when it's something like comic books. And I know I'm not the only one that does this because I've talked to many people. When you're looking for a comic book or a collectible or something, you go to another town. So if I go to Milwaukee for other business and I go, hey, I want to stop at the comic book store. And I go, ah, shit, they're not open on a fucking Tuesday. I mean, like at all. I go, well, that's fucking dumb. Well, then you just said, fuck you. We do not want your business.
I'm not saying I don't agree with you in certain aspects, because we do have places like that here that are closed on certain days. And I'm like, damn it. Or that, you know, close early. And it's just one of those, I go on the day that it's open. At the same time, though, why I think this is interesting, for lack of a better word, is this so disagrees with what you said back in November and corresponds to the day after Thanksgiving. So
no, it
instead,
doesn't.
You're saying, hold on, you're saying the day after Thanksgiving, don't be open at crazy hours. That store should open at crazy hours every other day throughout the year.
You should have your normal business model to be open at a consistent enough time that somebody can go, okay, it doesn't matter what day of the week it is, I can go to this store, and as long as it's before 10 p.m., I can go and get my item.
At the same time, though, with, you know, mom-and-pop places or comic book places that are privately owned that aren't part of a chain, you have to pay people to stay there. It also becomes a safety issue, because if you are not in a regular business area and there's not a lot of people around, your shit's going to get held up at, you know, 11 o'clock at night, what have you. Also, it's one of those things where if it's a privately owned establishment, you may not be able to afford to stay open the entire week. And you do, especially if you own your own business, you gotta have a fucking day off. So you're gonna be closed at a day during a week. So you really do have to consider, is it an inconvenience? Yes. Kill you to go Wednesday instead of Tuesday? No. I mean, I get a lot of stuff online or what have you. There is this one store I love going to that is closed a certain day during the week. And it's just one of those, I forget. Like, I'll drive out there and I'm like, oh, shit, that's right, they're closed.
In our new three-shift normal society, it doesn't even account for the people that work third shift. They are getting off work at 8 in the morning. You think they're going to want to go grocery shopping at 8 in the morning? Okay, here's a perfect example. The city of Algoma, they have one grocery store. It's where my mother-in-law lives. The grocery store closes at 8 o'clock. Literally, the only thing that's open past 8 o'clock in this entire town is a convenience store, a gas station that's open until midnight. So after 8 o'clock, you better not need groceries or a video or anything. It's basically this entire town stops existing after 8 o'clock. Nothing in this town matters after 8 p.m. That to me is as... There was... When I was working on the movie Feed the Fish, it was way up north in this stupid little fuck tiny little town. I was low on gas. Now, this is one of those towns that, you know, bans all corporate stuff and, you know, there are no corporate restaurants are allowed and all this blah, 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 okay? There was not even a 24-hour gas station. So the gas station I went to, because they're going for that down-home, Disney-fied kind of feel, didn't they not even have pay at the pump? So literally after 8 p.m., you can't even get gas in this fucking town. The next gas station's 40 miles away. That's ridiculous that everything shuts down at 8. And from 8 until 8, nothing is open. That's asinine to me.
That is asinine. However, a comic book shop not up till 10 p.m. or not being open every single day, that I can understand. I'm not saying I agree wholeheartedly every other way. I'm saying I see both sides.
I'm saying it irks me when I'm traveling on other business and I go to a city or town I've never been to before, and I see that they have a comic book store or a role-playing game store, and I go, awesome! And it's like maybe a Monday afternoon at 5, and I go, oh, they're not even open Mondays at all. Well, fuck them. I had $100 I was just going to spend. They don't get it, so fuck you then, stores. That's the way I say, fuck you. You don't want my business? Then I'll take it elsewhere. I'll take it to some place that will be open. Because I am sick. I mean, like, Scott from Lost in the Static gives me all this shit for sleeping all day long, and he calls me unproductive and whatnot. And it's like, no, I'm just as productive as you are. I just do it at a different time of day than you.
At that same time, everybody has different schedules. You cannot cater to everybody. You can't stay open, you know, to cater to everybody's hours. And you cannot stay open every day of the week. So just because you happen to go to, you know, that store because you're out of town, what have you, and you wanted to shop there on a Tuesday and they're closed on a Tuesday, whatever, then go someplace else. But you can't stay open 24/7 just because someone might come by and spend a buttload of money. There's no way. You'd go crazy being like, you know, oh, well, if I close now, then, you know, somebody might come in. Well, somebody might not come in.
Jillian, and again, in my town, we don't even have a 24-hour Walmart, okay?
That's fine,
in
but this you town. Are no, bitching but about a comic I'm, store not I, being open
but,
on a Tuesday.
But what, I'm,
to
what I'm trying to say
hours.
Now, what I'm trying to say now, right now, is we don't even have a 24-hour Walmart. If your sink breaks at 3 in the morning, you got to drive to Green Bay to go get the part. You know, if something breaks, I'm sorry, that Walmart should be there. It's a fucking super Walmart that closes at midnight. And it's going, what?
So
I've never encountered
be on
a super
24/7 if something in my place breaks, because I don't own my own home. But if something in my place breaks, I have to wait for my landlord to be awake
if
or
it's
available.
If it's something that cannot wait, like your sink is spraying water into your house because you can't get down to the pipe to turn it off because you don't have the key to the shaft, yeah, your landlord should be available to go, yeah, I'm not going to let that spray for the next 6 hours until I decide to wake up. And yes,
right,
that's happened to me before.
At the same time, do you have that same problem with Walmart being closed?
I think Walmart, a corporation the size of Walmart, there's no excuse for Walmart to not be 24 fucking hours in every Walmart location that they are at.
But then you are making people having to work overnight.
Jillian, they're working there anyway. They have the stock boys there all night long. It wouldn't kill them to have a clerk sitting at the front register.
But then
the place is already filled with employees.
What I'm saying is you're against stores opening at crazy hours the day after Thanksgiving, but you want them to be open when it's convenient for you. I'm not saying right or wrong the other way.
Position,
I just think it's hilarious that you're arguing this after we had that huge argument for the day
after
Thanksgiving.
If they are hired for the position of overnight cashier, then yes, the Thanksgiving or the Black Friday thing was people who did not normally have to come in that early have to come in that early because of the crazy hours. I'm talking about you hire a specific person. This is the job. The job
That's
is
fine, but
overnight.
When you get hired on for a retail position, you know you have to work holiday hours. Stores are open later during the holiday season. Stores open crazy hours for Black Friday. You have to work inventory, and that is done after hours. I don't normally work hours, but hey, we've got to do inventory after the store closes. Whoa, I didn't sign on for this. Yes, you did. That's the only reason I'm arguing this, because you are so dead set against the crazy hours the day after Thanksgiving.
I stand by my very thin differentiation between the two.
That's fine. I'm just playing devil's advocate. I see both ends of it, but I just think it's so hilarious that you're arguing this because it goes against everything. What is the day of that show? You need to look up the day of that show. So if people don't know what I'm talking about, it's somewhere in November, people. Like, it probably aired, what, the week after Black Friday or the week of?
I think it was the week of.
Yeah, but anyway, go to that show if you don't know what I'm talking about, because it's hilarious to me anyway hearing you say all of this now. when you had the same amount of rage and the same volume of yelling into my
I'm complex like that. Where can
You're as complex as a carbohydrate, sir.
Where can we find you?
I'm on the interwebs.
Can you be a little more specific? Can you be a little more specific?
I'm on my bed with the laptop.
Are you in lingerie?
I can be.
Ooh.
Where can people find you if they wish to contact you?
Using the promo code one.
Where can people find you if they wish to contact you?
I am on Twitter, Jillian Zarowski, and Facebook as well. I am also occasionally on thecinemasnob.com, and we also started a new page, huffingtondave.com, like Huffington Post. But I haven't updated on there yet, but there's some good stuff if you guys want to get.
You can find me at 1201beyond.com, 1201beyond@gmail.com, my weekly column, Sanity is Razor Thin, at geekjuicemedia.com, and my monthly column, The Shadows of Pop Culture, in Scene Magazine, if you happen to be in the Green Bay, Wisconsin area. Jillian and I are probably going to fight after I stop recording, so good night.
And you can all find Josh outside random comic book stores on a Tuesday, bitching a fit.